Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the WTF1 podcast, Italian Grand Prix edition. I'm Matt.
I'm Tommy.
And I'm Jess.
And today we have a more of a quick fire but succulent podcast.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why I use that word. I used it before we went live as well. Basically just beefy and juicy but quick, because we don't have this room for very long. However, let's get straight into the Italian Grand Prix, and we're all kind of buzzing from what an epic race we had.
Six bangers in a row.
Monza, yeah. I mean, one of the... I almost tweeted that, but then there was one that wasn't a banger. It was Hungary, wasn't it? It wasn't a banger.
Yeah, it was okay. Exciting.
But five out of six have been bangers, and very, very happy. Three-word race reviews. So we have Moritz Lynn, Vettel spins again. Alecamus 98, good Ferrari strategy. Elijah _ Rogers, 1-2-1, penalties actually deserved. And Joao MF Silva, Renault goes unnoticed. So a few different ones there. But... overall, I guess some shocking moments in the Italian Grand Prix, has to be said. Moritz Lynn coming up with probably one of the highlights, which was Vettel spinning again. Through Scari. He said he had a few kind of wobbles going through the laps before, and then it finally let go. And were we surprised when we saw Vettel facing the wrong way? Is it?
It just seems to always be him, doesn't it? I just can't believe that it happened again. A Monza of all places with his teammate winning, that must have been hard to take.
Yeah. Do you reckon that he almost felt that pressure because he had a bad lap one? He got overtaken by Hülkenberg into the chicane. And did anyone else watching that with that camera angle think Vettel was going to be around at that chicane? Because it looked blooming close from the camera angle that F1 was showing with Hülkenberg and Vettel going side by side. But he let the Renault through. Then he got back past pretty quick. But it just seemed like he was always on the back foot the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much Charles getting pole, leading the race got to him. You know, he's still not won for Ferrari at Monza, and it must have been tough for him.
He had a pretty iffy qualifying as well. I mean, qualifying itself was just an absolute and utter entertainment fest.
I loved
probably
it.
Probably for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, it's great.
It was just like, I mean, it was so funny how I think, you know, we're going to dive into our predictions from last that we were predicting for this round a bit later on.
Let's talk about it now. Let's talk about it now.
We don't have to stick to any script or schedule. But I mean, we joked that, you know, my prediction was that there would be slipstream drama in qualifying, but I don't think we quite...
That was a full Romeo and Juliet,
that
wasn't it?
And the story even that you came up with touring cars with touring is cars. Exactly
happened
what
exactly
happened.
Exactly the same. It was crazy. Exactly
two cars over the line.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay, yeah. Maybe not exactly. But yeah, so just absolutely insane. But obviously then he had his... he was under investigation for the red flag incident. Was it in Q2 it was kind of being investigated? And then when he went out in Q3, eventually he was expecting Charles to go out in front so that he could get the tow, because Charles had the tow previously, and then that didn't work out because everyone was kind of bunched anyway, and there was just communication chaos.
I thought that was going to kickstart especially in the race, if Vettel had been in the race and was battling Charles, that it might have started to get a bit sour between Leclerc and Vettel.
I think it already is.
Vettel's obviously very upset by it, and the fact that he was complaining that it was Charles' turn to give him the slipstream, which I don't believe was correct, but...
No, it was. It was for that final run.
Because
Vettel was on the team radio going, Charles has to go through now. He has to go through. But the thing is, obviously they have this, you know, strategy where they take it in turns for Monza and most races where slipstream is important. But the thing is, they don't also want to not have a slipstream. So no one wanted to lead that train of cars. And I just loved how Nico Hülkenberg just missed the turn one to go through the flipping the runoff.
Yeah. And Stroll saw what he was doing and was like, no, you're not having this.
So they all just slowed down. Yeah, to be fair, I thought it was brilliant. And to be fair, I would happily watch that over a hot lap shootout, which we've seen many times and it has been dramatic. But as it was different,
it's going to be one of those things that everyone remembers. Everyone will remember 2019 Italian Grand Prix qualifying because of that incident. So it's quite funny.
And to think that Charles was one of the only ones to get over the line again as well, to have his hot lap. I don't know how that.
It was only Sainz that got. It was only Sainz.
No, Charles got over as well.
And then he just aborted his lap.
Yeah, and then he aborted because
he was only
a McLaren.
Yeah,
because
that wouldn't have gone down well with Seb either. So,
right. Jess, as we are on the. Speaking about Ferrari,
absolutely.
Let's dive into your three-word recipe.
Yeah, so I've come up with Prince and Pauper.
Very, very.
I know, right?
Edgy.
Well, I was trying to be, you know, proper.
Have a good
about
three-word race review.
Exactly, because I don't know. Sometimes they can sound a bit naff. But anyway, so Prince and Pauper, and basically that I think that just utterly describes the two sides of the Ferrari garage. You've got Charles Leclerc, who's just come back as an absolute and utter Ferrari prince, and will be immortalized in the eyes of the Tifosi for having finally given them a win again at Monza.
After nine years.
Yeah. That's a long time. Did
you make this three-word race review after reading the Italian media's headline, or is that just coincidental?
Why was the Italian media's headline?
So the Italian media ran with the headline, "The Young Prince Has Already Become King." That was their headline. Ooh.
But I think a lot of people, there was a lot of talk about him being the young prince of, they were saying like the young prince of Monaco. So I think everyone just sees, again, I guess it's because he's had an almost fairy tale career in terms of tragedy and highs. So it is kind of fitting. And then Seb does just feel like this second rate driver. I mean, at the very beginning, we discussed about whether, you know, how is this dynamic going to develop? Is Charles really going to take it to Seb and put Seb on the back foot? And the answer is yes. But I don't, it's weird for me because again, we've spoken about this in previous podcasts for previous races. Seb just doesn't look comfortable in that Ferrari. There is something about it that he cannot tackle. He can't tame the beast, if we're going to keep using like fairy tale terminologies. But and again, like, you know, if he was talking, not once did Charles look like he had any form of handling issues with that Ferrari. It was seamless. I mean, we're going to come on to a little bit later in terms of whether he was doing the right thing driving wise, but in terms of like being under control of that Ferrari, he made two mistakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Under that much pressure, and Vettel
is cracked under less pressure, I would argue. He's the veteran, the four-time world champion.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, Vettel is just not the same driver he was at Red Bull.
No, and I you could almost argue, you know, back in his Red Bull days, obviously Adrian Newey created a car that was ultimate when it comes to downforce. It was all about, you know, just ridiculous amounts of grip with the Red Bull. This, you know, it's Monza.
Power.
It's very low downforce. Yeah. And it clearly just doesn't suit his driving style.
And Ferrari are well known for, if you look at how the races have gone, Red Bull still have that car that is, you know, quick around Monaco, quick around Singapore.
Yeah.
This new Ferrari, they suffered around Hungary. They suffered around... So that sort of extreme downforce that maybe Vettel prefers
is not
working for him.
Yeah.
Because I do think that, you know, we can go on about how it's hurting Vettel's reputation, his era. There's obviously just something where this era of car is just not suited for him. I mean, as soon as 2014, even 2014 when he was at Red Bull, the hybrid era cars, he got beaten by Ricciardo. Mm. He didn't seem like the same driver. He was so at one with that V8 era blown diffuser. Absolutely unbelievable. And for whatever reason.
And that's how, you know, when there's comparisons between Hamilton and Vettel and, you know, all this, you know, four-time versus five-time world champion, that's why, in my head, why they can't be compared is because Hamilton has adapted to no matter what car he's driven, whereas Vettel, as you say, seems almost hindered by this hybrid era. So, it's going to be interesting to see how he brings himself back. Maybe Singapore will be better for him because the Ferrari will have a lot more downforce, and again, it's not a power track. It's not, you know.
I can't. Sort of stuff, I genuinely can't think of anything worse for Vettel's career than
Charles
at Monza, spinning off almost. Let's be honest, embarrassing himself in front of the Tifosi while Charles was winning. And I remember thinking at the end of the race, you saw the mechanics, the marshals and the fans waving flags and bowing down to him. And Vettel must have been thinking, this is my dream. Yeah. I wanted to emulate Schumacher and do this kind of thing. It must be really tough on him.
Yeah, considering he won there in a Toro Rosso, you'd think that maybe he would have won in a Ferrari. But very, very difficult. V Lion Man says, do you think Seb got too good at donuts in 2013 that it just became part of his driving style?
Yikes.
He loves a spin at Monza. That's a shame. But hey ho, let's move on from Vettel to my three-word race review and the other driver in Ferrari, which I'm sure too many people are shocked that my review's about it. Ruthless Leclerc defending is what I went for my three-word race review. You know, people might be shocked that I felt that his driving was slightly over the edge. I feel like the move when Hamilton was trying to go kind of racing line but around the outside into the second chicane, I thought that was okay, fair enough, black and white flag. If that's how the stewards are now doing things, fits the bill. But the weave before
Curva Grande,
to a Curva Grande, that was
that's gonna be
a penalty. But I think that I do think the stewards felt pressure with it being at Monza, and I feel like they may not.
I don't believe that because having met them, having sat in with them, and met a lot of Gary Connolly, who is usually heading up the stewards. They don't. Yes, of course. I think everybody in this industry feels pressure at some point or whatever. Or, you know, there's a heavy amount of media attention around certain drivers or races or stewarding or whatever. But I don't believe that they make decisions based on what they want the end result to be.
Exactly. I mean, look at Canada. They wouldn't have made that call because Mercedes had won every race. Everyone was saying how boring it is that Mercedes is winning every race, and they didn't not give Vettel a penalty because they wanted to see a different winner.
It just comes down to consistency at the end of the day,
which is the old argument that we keep throwing up.
Yeah, but
and everybody does.
I think the weave, personally, you know, from a Leclerc fanboy or whatever, you know, I thought that would at least deserved investigating, and it wasn't even looked at.
And even they noted his turn two clipping, missing the apex. Yeah. I mean, again, like
a lot of drivers have done that, and I think,
but that's consistent.
Like, yeah,
drivers have done that before, and there's been no penalty.
And at the end of the day, it is a mistake. He's not.
And Hamilton had a run on him anyway after that, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
But that's when he weaved.
Yeah.
So again, like under pressure or whatever. But
One thing I was thinking about Leclerc defending actually. Although it didn't seem it at the time, Verstappen beating him in Austria might have just been the best thing that ever happened to his career because
elbows out.
You know, he's now got that ruthless side to his game that is going to be able to win in world championships when he is up against a Hamilton or a Verstappen, where he goes, you know what? And he did it in the next race at Silverstone, didn't he, against Verstappen? He's got that side to him now where he's not willing to take any crap from
anyone, and that's why I put ruthless in that three-word race view, because fair enough, I thought it was borderline potentially penalty worthy, his defending as a whole, but at the same time, that is exactly how you beat Lewis Hamilton on the track, is you give as good as he gets, because Hamilton has given his fair share of elbows over his career.
It's funny as well, because he came out saying that he thinks that this new generation of drivers are the FIA is being way more lenient with them than with the old generation, like his generation. And I was sat there thinking, are you joking?
Have you seen Verstappen's passes?
But also, you got exactly the same treatment. Like, you were pulling off some questionable moves when you were kind of a young buck and battling against champions. So I don't know why he's saying that so much. But the other thing I was also going to say is, I think Leclerc's, he's a smart driver. So I think he kind of... You don't ever get the sense like you might have got with early days of Max, where you thought, oh God, he's going to hit someone or crash into somebody.
He knew what he could get away with.
Yeah, he knows where to place the car, but also so does Hamilton. And I think he was lucky that there wasn't a big incident caused, because I would argue, I don't want to name names in terms of like who might not
Verstappen
have...
wouldn't have given him. I knew what you were going to say there, and I totally agree that Verstappen would have probably...
They would have crashed.
They would, yeah. He wouldn't. Hamilton went for that gap. Leclerc closed it. There was not a car's width, and Hamilton bailed down the runoff. Now other drivers might have gone, crashed into the side of him, and then argued it later, or tried to go in and then claimed that he didn't have that. But
I've not heard. Much of Hamilton's radio, but it didn't seem that he. He only said like there wasn't a car's width there. And he raised it on radio, but he never... I think they were both just so focused in the race that there wasn't any of this like whinging and complaining. I think he said he said two things I heard. So one was that he didn't leave a width, and two, there's some dangerous driving going on.
He was whinging a bit.
Considering how
we may not have heard all of
that. That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So maybe if we don't like had a bit of a dive into his radio, there might
because even
more,
Toto afterwards tried to make the joke that they just didn't want to penalise a Ferrari at Monza, which I think that's the thing.
He said very condescending sort of statements of there's no, you know, he said on Instagram there's no beef, you know, Charles, great drive, blah blah blah, bros. But then to the media, he said something, you know, he said, you know, that it was dangerous driving and that, you know, maybe he wouldn't.
It's like heat of the moment thing, isn't it? Versus afterwards, where he goes, well, I'm still in the lead of the championship.
Yeah.
It's like his thing, which I thought was very silly, of qualifying, where he said, oh, they just blocked everyone because they wanted to keep pole. That was a silly comment.
It was, you know? Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, they've, like, Mercedes dummied again in this race.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not. Playing above the line. That's questionable. One, it's meant to be illegal.
Yeah, they just stop. It's just
And it so you know, it's F1. It's part of it. It's the drama. It gives us some good stuff to talk about at the end. Did anybody, you know, was anybody's race really impeded? I don't think Lewis would have got around Charles anyway. I think Charles was playing such a good and we saw it in the F2 sprint race as well, like Jack Aitken.
Shout out for winning.
If you watched his race, I mean, again, his tactics were questioned by Jordan King in terms of...
I think Jordan King questioned everything.
Well, yeah, he did. But because Jack was doing a similar thing in terms of like trying to break the toe and kind of moving the car around more than you normally would. But not... I wouldn't say dangerously. I don't think
and
there
that's
was
within the rules as well.
Yeah,
you're allowed to weave as much as you want.
Well, not at the braking. Well,
yeah. But if there's no cars around you.
Yeah, yeah. So... But it was all to do with racecraft, which is something that Jack spoke with you about on our recent karting series, which was on YouTube.
He learned a lot from me.
Yeah, he did. you're welcome, Jack. Yeah. And that's exactly what Charles did as well. He just put that car where he needed to, where no one could get around him. And obviously, the Ferraris had the straight line speed. Like, coming out of the Parabolica, they just went, didn't it? It just went. It was like, okay, see you later.
The purchase off that corner was ridiculous.
So... Yeah, I don't think anyone's race was impeded, really.
Yeah.
And there's not many occasions that you see Hamilton beaten in a wheel-to-wheel fight.
Yeah.
You don't really see it with Bottas, do you? If that was... let's not get onto him. We will talk about him a little bit later.
We should probably jump onto Tommy's.
Yeah, go on, Tommy. It's all linked in.
Yeah, mine's kind of linked in because... mine's stewarding new era. And that is because a lot of people were quick to...
I feel like you had a similar... view on this a few races ago, maybe.
Yeah, but
is this a new era?
Well, this is because people... the biggest argument I've seen is that Verstappen last year did exactly the same thing to Bottas and got a 5-second penalty, and people are very quick to complain.
Yeah. Oh, that was when he was squeezed into
turn
one, right?
He was squeezed, he didn't leave a space, and they gave him a 5-second penalty straight away.
Yeah.
With Leclerc, whatever reason, since the French Grand Prix, when we did the podcast and said, let them race.
They let them race.
Thanks for listening. I mean, watching.
They are more lenient. I personally really liked the call of Charles took it as far as he possibly could. And the black and white flag has almost become like...
Talk in the mic, Tommy.
Sorry. Well, you told me not to because it was covering my face in the last one. It's almost like a yellow card in football. I know we're doing the football analogy again, but the black and white flag is don't do that again.
We're watching.
If you do, you're in trouble.
Yes, yeah.
And that's exactly what they did. And
for that kind of incident where Hamilton didn't end up in the wall, didn't lose much time.
Yeah. So personally, I think that the stewarding has got a lot better recently because they are allowing things. The Albon and Sainz incident, they didn't even investigate it because it's just two cars going round a corner.
They didn't investigate it. It's just a racing incident.
That's what I mean. Yeah, they're just giving racing incidents for...
Which
racing
was fair.
Incidents.
Like Albon risked it around the outside. Sainz got a bit of a swapper on.
Yeah.
Albon wasn't out of the race, so...
But it's definitely since... Because you could argue that the Leclerc, if Leclerc had got a penalty, Leclerc's first thought would be, well, why didn't Verstappen get one in Austria?
Yeah.
He was just doing So they've clearly put their foot down after France and said, look, we need to allow racing more in the stewarding decisions.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's exactly what they've done.
I would rather them get stricter on stuff like Mercedes dummying. Like, I would rather them, like, get stricter on stuff like that, but allow...
Which is very easy to police.
Well...
If the car doesn't come in...
Well, they can say, can't they,
that...
They do it every race. That was a communication error every single race.
They did give a lot of penalties at the start, but that was for proper things that were...
Kimi starting on the wrong tyre.
So you need to penalise someone for that.
That's literally Alfa not knowing the rules.
It's quite interesting that Vettel...
Well, I think maybe they got confused because he then got the grid penalties, maybe that he then could change his tyres out. But
I just love how there's no one in the F1 team that's just gone, are you sure? just do it. They won't
there was
just
a race,
start from the pit lane. It's fine.
There was a race where, I don't know if you guys remember it, I think it was Spa, where Williams put one soft tyre and then...
Yeah, I do remember that.
But
that was weird.
It was interesting that Vettel, the penalty that they gave Vettel was the harshest penalty they can give
without
a black flag. Clearly, they saw that as very dangerous, which I did too.
I think especially after everything that happened last weekend, there were that almost caused two T-bone incidents, which is exactly what we can't have.
Mm. Yeah.
Because that is ultimately
the
most dangerous.
Vettel's argument was that he couldn't see anything because the
halo
cockpits
was in the way.
And the halo don't drive onto the track then if you can't
well,
see.
Well, also, he was opposite a Marshall station. And it's meant, this is actually something that I was trying to watch to see if the marshals did indicate to him when it was safe to, because that's what they're meant to do. If the driver can't see, then they're meant to look to marshals to give them a clear flag or clear indication that they can rejoin the track. I couldn't see because the TV coverage wasn't great, but that's what he's meant to do. And the fact that he didn't, and he just claims, oh, well, I couldn't see. Well, then, mate, you shouldn't
Vettel
move the car.
Vettel is absolutely not looking at the marshals either, is he? He is going, I need to get round and leave.
I need to get back on. Because the camera where it's just on the front nose, that is scary.
Yeah.
The speed that they're going past on that is...
Oh, also, shout out to the TV directors again that cut to the bloody crowd just
there was
before.
A theory because
of theory
last weekend.
Oh, that they didn't want to see a collision.
That's why they thought, what's going to occur? That's the theory. I don't know if that's the case, but they have been pretty bad again this weekend.
They did a very weird start replay,
yes!
didn't they? Which was they were about to show Verstappen and then, cut it off.
As he was, locking up, it was
Okay, we'll come back to that later.
He's lost his front wing. We'll show you everything but when he loses his front wing.
I guess the theory about this new era of stewarding, just to kind of recap quickly, obviously we have a new racing director in Michael Massey, And his background is in supercars. And I think they use black flags and that kind of thing a lot more in other series. Yeah. And so I think he's looking to introduce that more into Stirding to get around the fact that people get in uproar about giving too many harsh penalties.
Thank you for the time, Rory. I am aware of the time. Thank you so much. Yes, yeah. Sorry, Karen.
But yeah, so I think
he gets shit
I agree.
Done, doesn't he?
Yeah, you can't take that away. And oh my God, what a season to have in your first year of being the racing director in F1.
Yeah.
So I agree with Tommy. I quite like it, and I just hope that what's going to be difficult is getting everyone to understand that there are now there's new consistency here.
There's warnings
now. This is the first time
we've
really
seen
it. Yeah, I agree.
That's what happens in F1 games. You get warnings, exactly. And then you get penalty.
Yeah,
you know?
I like it.
Cool.
Okay,
right.
So Rory's just let us know that we've got 8 minutes left of this podcast. So let's move on. Talk a little bit, tiny bit about Bottas. Why is he so useless, says Henstrike Power?
Because he ain't a champion.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Fair.
That was his race to put one over on Hamilton.
Even the team radio guy was this is your win.
Yeah, beat Leclerc. It just shows that Hamilton's won the championship.
As we just said, I don't know if Hamilton would have gotten around. I mean, great call by Ferrari strategy to put Charles on hards and to let Lewis basically run his mediums down to nothing.
Yeah.
Because he was always going to push that hard, and Leclerc could just not coast. Obviously, he was under pressure the entire time, but they just forced Hamilton to absolutely destroy his tyres and have to limp back and then put their number two guy in to try and come back. And if Hamilton can't get round Charles, I'm sorry, Bottas cannot get round Charles.
No. I think we all knew. Apart from when Charles made that mistake and Bottas was half a second and
twice in the space of two laps.
Locked up into turn one. And even the commentators were like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
I think we all were. I still wanted the fight, but it was... just a shame because he was nowhere in that race. He was just kind of sat behind slipstream in the whole race. Then it was like, this is your moment. And then he just did not do anything. Shout out to Renault's performance, moving on from Bottas and something good now. Renault, fourth and fifth.
Yes, called it.
They were just in.
I know. Like, seriously, dude.
To be fair, there is thinking behind
it. I mean, I see the question here is from Chris Barrows. What does this result mean for Renault moving forward? I said Chris Barrows, not Siri, my phone. it's just circuit dependent.
It's power tracks.
They were really good at Spa. They were really good at Canada.
And they'll be nowhere in Singapore.
That's
basically what we're saying.
Basically,
because they were saying we don't have such a good aero package, but that also means that these kind of power tracks, that means we have less drag, so we're faster. So it's kind of it's really cool that we still have those tracks that bring out.
We need a mix of circuits.
Yeah,
because Monza allowed someone like Renault to beat the Red Bulls.
Yeah,
now we're going to Singapore where Ferrari will probably be.
Do you think the Renaults would have actually, because the Red Bulls were very much out of
I think they would have been
sync. You reckon? Yeah. I reckon it would have been close.
If you watch Verstappen's video of him trying to pass Perez, they have no straight line speed at all. They could not get, even with DRS, he just could not get past Perez.
Really? Yeah. With the Mercedes engine. Yes. Right, now it's time for ABCD. One, the quickest version ever. 5 minutes to go. Let's go. Mercedes, Lewis Hamilton.
B.
I say an A.
I say a B.
B. Yeah, he made a mistake.
Valtteri Bottas, C.
C, yeah.
Yeah.
Ferrari, Sebastian Vettel, F.
U.
U.
U, okay.
Just U.
Charles Leclerc,
A
star. A star.
Pole and
A star, yeah.
A star.
Yes. Red Bull, Max Verstappen.
C.
C.
C, yeah.
Best C.
Decent.
Yeah. He had a very measured approach into turn one and still managed to crash.
Yeah.
At like 4 miles an hour.
Yeah, but that wasn't really his fault.
Yeah, it's like
he just pressed the brakes harder. what were we going to say? C?
I'd give him a B. Genuinely.
I'd say C.
Finished 12.
We've given him B's for.
Finished 12?
From the back of the grid on a circuit that does not suit
finished,
a Red Bull.
Finished 7th. 8th.
8th. He finished 8th, didn't he? Yeah, he was up 12 positions. Sorry.
C.
Okay, I'll say B. Outvoted, wow. Tommy.
I'm giving my assistant.
yeah. Alex Albon.
C.
B. He had he had good aggression. I'm liking the
big
move.
Mistake.
The move into sign.
C. You're outvoted, Matty. Oh my God! For the first time ever, Matty That's gets
disgusting.
Outvoted.
I just voted with you, and then you go.
Sorry.
Daniel Ricciardo. A.
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 Nico Hülkenberg. B.
B. Yeah.
Haas, Romain Grosjean.
F, get out. who even are
he's
you?
Spent. Yeah, he's just.
Just leave okay, already.
Okay, Kevin Magnussen.
Oh, I mean,
where were Haas? Haas are so again, hard to rate. They're just
they were there. They were looking like again, they were going to get some points.
D. We have D. to move on. McLaren. Sorry. Carlos Sainz.
Oh, that was
can't
a
really
shame,
grade him.
It?
I mean, he was doing like ninth, wasn't he, after pitting, and then his wheel fell off.
And he qualified seventh.
B.
C. Let's give him a C.
Lando Norris.
C.
Racing Point. Sergio Perez.
He did really well.
C or B.
B.
I'd give him a B.
Yeah, B.
I'll give Lance Stroll an. Was gonna give him an A, but then he did that spin thing. He was actually doing really well. He was up.
I'd give him a B because he would have got a mega result if it wasn't
raging. Vettel. Yeah, he got smashed. Alfa Romeo, Kimi.
Impossible to grade.
Ungradable. Antonio Giovinazzi.
Didn't notice him.
He finished in the points.
You, unnoticeable.
And he didn't spin on the last lap.
Okay, B.
Right, C. Okay, cool.
What? Yeah. No, B.
Okay, B.
Danny Kvyat, Toro Rosso.
He was doing really well. And then he had the engine blowout.
A.
Ooh.
He was doing really well. He was in seventh.
Give he was B. in seventh.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay. A.
He was in seventh in okay. Toro Rosso.
Let's go for A.
Stingy
for
man.
A. Pierre Gasly, C.
Oh, bless
C.
him, 11th.
Yeah. George Russell, C.
He did B. Robert he 14th, no?
Russell finished 14th, yeah.
B. Just behind that Vettel. That has to be a B. If he finishes one place behind a Ferrari, he gets a B.
Yeah.
Kubica gets a C because he lost to Russell again. Okay, predictions for Monza. My predictions were Leclerc 2 on the bounce.
Hell yeah.
Bang. And Hamilton retires.
No.
Non-bang.
He went off. Half point.
No, you're not getting half point for that.
Yeah, he nearly retired.
No, he didn't nearly retire.
1 point for me. Jess, slipstream drama and quali.
Yes.
Gasly will gain the most positions.
No.
Yeah,
that was a tie between Perez and Verstappen.
Okay, cool. Tommy, Vettel wins the race.
Slightly
Ricciardo
off.
Will beat both Red Bulls.
Correct.
Yes.
Banging.
Fans, more Ferrari team orders. Ruben
Hovers.
I'd argue
just about because of the Vettel complaining.
That's not... Shut up.
Half a point.
Hülkenberg
is
announced as a Haas driver.
That did not happen.
Albon will finish ahead of Verstappen. Yes.
Yes.
It did happen.
Predictions for Singapore. My predictions are Verstappen will get pole and Ferrari will get beaten by both Mercedes and Red Bull. After two on the bounce. I fancy getting two on the bounce. Jess?
I think the top three teams will be on the podium. So
you think that? Oh, right. Okay.
No, as in like we'll have a Mercedes, a Ferrari, and a Red Bull on
the teams that have dominated Formula
One. So we have
a
Merc, a Ferrari, and a Red Bull. Yep.
Yes.
There's no time for.
Right,
we have 2 minutes till we have to leave this room.
And there will be multiple puns about all the different music acts that are playing because Singapore Grand Prix is actually turning into a full-on festival.
Fest. Nice.
Red
Tommy.
Albon podium. Okay, yep. His first podium. And George Russell will out-qualify a midfield car.
Perfect. And the fans, Adam PW F1, McLaren best of the rest, Danny Coe, Mercedes to throw a dummy pit stop at least once, and Ken Megum 95, Williams will get a point with Russell. Well,
don't let us down, Russell.
Don't let us down. We apologise for this slightly rushed end to this WTF1 podcast. It's because we have to be kicked out of this room, unfortunately. But hopefully it'll be a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more chill next time out for the Singapore Grand Prix in 2 weeks. We'll see. Probably not. But Singapore, eh? That's going to be a boring race, isn't it?
No, it won't.
We've now got a minute to talk. How's it
going? You rushed through it and now we're...
hey, it's 1:58.
Yeah, but we have to pack down and be out of here by 2.
We
do. So we should probably
say goodbye.
Probably quit.
All right. Well, thank you so much for watching, listening. Make sure to give us a 5 stars on whatever platform that you're listening or watching on. If it's YouTube, you can't give us 5 stars. Give us a like instead. Subscribe if you're new. And wow, I felt like a real vlogger there. And goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. See you in Singapore.
We're waving for audio listeners. Goodbye. Bye. Leclerc won again. Oh yeah, by the way, if you want to see me shout, then I'm going to have to do that at some point. It's in the IBR where I'm shouting, not fanboy, just passionate, in the centre of London.
In Trafalgar Square.
Trafalgar Square, apparently.
Charles has called you out.
Yeah,
so
Charles
you have
literally replied.
You have to do it.
I thought I could maybe get away with it until he said, I can't wait for the video. And I'm like, okay,
I love
have
how
to do it.
He replied to you as well, that he was blatantly in the middle of celebrating his win.
But on a new win. Well, one sec, let me just, I'm looking forward to Matt shouting in London. What is our lives? Right, goodbye.
Bye.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.